On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing places of honor at the table. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you're invited, go take the lowest place so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you'll enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or relatives to your wealthy neighbors in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And so the gospel of the Lord. There are two themes in the gospel today, the clear teaching on humility and the response of Jesus to those in the ruling class who offered him such hostility. The gospel is further charged with meaning because in the preceding segment, the first part of the chapter, a man is healed with dropsy on the Sabbath, and what we take to be edema is not thought of as immediately critical, and the person could have been healed on any other day, but certainly not on the Sabbath. But Jesus acts otherwise. The first two readings intensify the sense of humility because they give us a traditional understanding. Jesus presents us with a sort of parody that cuts through the common understanding of humility and relates it to the deeper meaning and radical demands of the kingdom. As I reflect on my experience, it seems I recall right away a time when I had the head of the order, the archbishop, and my provincial for an event in Seattle. And we had a dinner afterwards to kind of celebrate them being there. And all three of them said to me, "Don't fuss with us. We don't want a head table. We want to sit with the people." What a wonderful gesture it was, and it was very successful. But as I reflect on other experiences, it seems that I learned most about humility through a major misunderstanding in my experience of ministry. Some years ago, I went to work in the provincial office as an assistant to the provincial. He was a very good friend of mine, but also a person who found it just impossible to govern in a collegial manner. So although I was vicar or assistant provincial, I had very little say in the direction of things. And although our friendship survived the tension, after 2 years I decided to go back to parish ministry. Well, as an assistant or vicar provincial, you're only a sort of spare tire in such a structure. The incident that helped me learn about humility resulted from a sort of misunderstanding of titles. At one time, the provincial asked me to visit a brother priest who had a very creative and vital ministry in the Southwest. This should have been just a low-key visit and encouragement with me expressing appreciation for the really excellent work that was being done. But when I arrived, something was askew. Only later did I realize that the local people misunderstood the title, that our priests there paid very little attention to ecclesiastical niceties. And so they must have thought that the vicar was someone who was above the provincial. And this is exactly the way they were treating me. Only later did I figure out what was going on. However, I did use my unexpected authority to suggest that our local Dominican not smoke these terrible big black cigars in the back of the worship space and smell up the whole area. He reluctantly condescended to my newfound authority, at least while I was there. There are a few more events in this parody of misplaced importance, and over the years, this has really helped me not to take myself too seriously. But more importantly, it opens up the mystery of humility, as this becomes part of the freedom we need to truly listen to, understand, and appreciate our brothers and sisters. For me, humility needs to be an active energy that allows me to be truly present to my brother and sister in Christ. I say brother and sister rather than parishioners because when dealing with people we serve, I could rely on a duty performed and a good judgment made and a service well rendered, and be under the illusion that I have done enough or even acted with the full freedom of the gospel, and especially with that freedom that an active humility can provide. As I see the call to humility, it would demand that I do more than just cultivate a modest self-image. I see this gospel as a call for me to become real in my appreciation and understanding of my brothers and sisters. As I see it, the true goodness and pain of those I encounter, and as I begin to really digest this and savor it. Well, humility is a kind of gyroscope that brings me balance and helps me to come to see and value what's really going on in the life of my brothers and sisters. Certainly, as a priest, I have a very privileged situation when it comes to people sharing their lives and hearts with me. But I find the real challenge is to expend that extra energy to truly pay attention and engage the inner spirit and beauty of the person that I meet. As a professional clergyman, their habits of problem-solving and traditional understanding that might make me move too quickly into thinking that I've really understood the person and provided an appropriate solution for what's really going on in their lives. No, I really appreciate Pope Francis in all this because the thing that I find most satisfying in his approach to leadership is that he seems really attentive to the smallest detail and the least important person. He seems to make contact with what is most beautiful and vulnerable in the people he encounters. So many people of importance seem to sail above what is really going on and are imprisoned by an overly inflated sense of self-worth or duty. I pray for the energy to open out to the beauty and goodness and even the full tragedy of the people that I'm privileged to encounter each day. Such a humility suggests a freedom of spirit that can allow me to engage the full beauty and value of the people I meet and would hope to serve. May God bless you with such a freedom and sense of things as you bless your brothers and sisters with that unfettered attendance that humility can provide.